Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green and Rob Misch here to preview UNLV Oregon State. Biggest non-conference game of the year for the Rebels. The 1-0 Rebels facing the 1-0 Beavers. Both of them coming off of a fresh whipping of a FCS opponent. So neither has really been tested yet. But we do know what Oregon State's all about just by looking at them on paper. This is a team that, Mike Sanford said something, Rob, and you used to cover the Pac-10 for a while, and you can probably put some truth to this too, you can confirm this. He was talking about how, the way Oregon State plays is with a chip on its shoulder because they really kind of go unnoticed in the Pac-10, even when they do succeed. Last year, 9-4, won the Sun Bowl, beat USC at home, still not a lot of people talking about them. A team that plays with a chip on its shoulder and plays harder than a lot of teams because they know they don't get the respect that they should a lot of the time.
Haven't maybe been looked at by the elites of the league, and they use it against them when they go up and face them. So, it's kind of simple. But, what's really interesting is how that was really the theme with when Dennis Erickson ran the Beavers. And it's kind of carried over to this regime. So it's, I don't know if it's funny or interesting or what, but it's definitely something to note that that mentality is still there. That's what really powered them over that to wallop Notre Dame 41-9 in that fantastic Fiesta Bowl in 2002. That really put them on the map and made Oregon State a name in football. They finished the year number 4 and kind of haven't really heard from them since. They won the Las Vegas Bowl first year under Mike Riley. Thumped New Mexico. Steven Jackson, the Las Vegas guy, was there, as were many other Las Vegas kids. And we have seen that pipeline kind of dry up a bit in recent years. And now this Oregon State team coming into Sam Boyd Stadium will have no Las Vegas players on its roster, which is kind of an anomaly compared to recent seasons. Heck, going back maybe even 10 years. So it's odd in that way. So.
And while the recruiting landscape has changed and the landscape of the roster has changed for Mike Riley now going on his 9th season at Oregon State, one thing has remained consistent is that they're always there. They're always hanging around. They've made 5 bowl appearances in 9 years under Riley. They're 5-0 in bowl games. They get to the postseason and they win games. They're consistent year in, year out. They're rarely looked at as a bad team or a team that you can really chalk a win up against.
Right, and of course he did that. This is his second go-around in Corvallis. As nice a guy as you will ever meet. He is level-headed. He is pleasant. He understands the role of the media, and I'm not saying that just because he caters to the media, but he is really thought of highly in many circles, and it was a little bit of a shame that it didn't work out for him down in San Diego with the Chargers. But then again, he had a bonehead throwing the ball in Ryan Leaf. So that was highly forgettable. And that's a guy that I would think that an owner like the Spanos family would always have a hard time firing.
Yeah.
Because he's very smart, very capable, and this will be a challenge for UNLV.
Well, we looked at it earlier in the week. He and Mike Sanford go way back, not only to their days with the Chargers, their days at USC as assistants in the early and mid-90s. So two coaches that know each other very well, have never faced as head coaches coming into this weekend's game. Do you think that aspect of it plays into it at all? I mean, they have a lot of the same offensive philosophies, a lot of the same coaching philosophies. Do you see that playing into this at all?
I think so. I think in many ways. I think the similarity it makes it for a much more entertaining game. And, as opposed to last week where Sanford had no idea who the other guy he was playing, never met him, now there are definite ties. And, when they know each other, they kind of want to give it just that little bit of extra, strategic wrinkles, and we might be seeing some fancy things, and, it's going to be a great chess match between them. They know each other so well, so how can they outdo and maybe throw a curve at the other one? So you documented their background very, very well. It's really a rich background. It's, there's a lot there.
And it intertwines a lot.
Yeah.
And it all kind of comes to a head this weekend. And taking a look at Oregon State as they come to town 1-0 again, a 34-7 victory over Portland State. If you want to know a little more about them, last year went 9-4, won the Sun Bowl. It was a barn burner, 3-0 over Pittsburgh. Under Mike Riley, they've had kind of spotty success in road non-conference games, and I'm sure we remember last year that thumping they took up at Penn State early in the season. And then a week later, they beat Hawaii in the islands, and then they go home and beat USC. So a team that you never really know what you're going to get from, but one thing that you do know with this year's Oregon State team, for as much roster turnovers there's been or whatever, the Rogers brothers. That's where it all is for these guys. Jaquizz Rogers, the 5'7 sophomore running back, his brother James, the 5'7 receiver. These are the two primary ball handlers for Oregon State, and it's all going to revolve around them.
Was the total of that Sun Bowl 3.5?
Wouldn't that have been? It was actually pretty high, too. It was
Sun Bowls can be crazy, yeah. But the Rogers brothers from Texas, yeah, they have a lot of talent. James, the receiver, caught an 87-yard pass last week, and then he returned a kickoff 49 yards. So he's pretty versatile and dangerous, and they could have their hands full trying to keep an eye on an eye and an arm on him. And then you've got, like you said, Jaquizz, who had triple digits. He had 3 touchdowns. Like, you know, we talked about this Saturday night. Very similar games. UNLV and Oregon State last week. You know, a running back triple digit yardage, 3 touchdowns. You know, and some special,
a comfortable victory,
right? Yeah. And you know, some skilled players that you better, you know, keep down. So it will, you know, I think it's going to be a very intriguing game. UNLV is 3-1 all time against Oregon State. So, you know, we'll see if that comes into play. It's been a while since they played.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is the return game from a trip back in 2002 that UNLV made up to Corvallis.
UNLV lost in Corvallis, yeah.
Well, you know, looking at Jaquizz Rogers a little bit, he's going to be the big focal point, not only because he's going to be their primary ball handler, but because of some of the lulls UNLV had against the run last week,
right.
Allowing 129 yards to Sacramento State, including 102 to Terrence Daly,
right.
A Washington transfer who, keep in mind, ran for 100 yards himself against Oregon State last year. So, you know, talking to the UNLV guys, and I'm sure you can remember seeing a lot of this, so they talked about how, going back on film, they were almost disgusted by the amount of missed tackles they had. They said, you know, they were getting to the ball, but they just weren't taking the guy down. A lot of yards after contact for Daly and company last week. And, you know, that's one thing against Sacramento State, who you're going to beat easily. But against Oregon State, this Rogers kid's going to make you pay, because he's one of those kids, all he needs is just one little sliver of daylight.
He's a 5'7 squirt, too. Yeah. So he could be poking through the narrowest of seams and slots and who knows what. So, yeah, it's going to be a much different test. And, you know, the quarterback is going to be much better this week, too. You know, 6'4", Sean Canfield. He's going to be able to look over that line. But you know what else stood out is there was no sacks. Oregon State didn't get one sack last week. So, you know, it might be a Pac-10 foe, but, you know, they've got some work to do on their D-line too, which might bode well for an offensive line that is trying to gel for UNLV also, still come together and so forth.
Yeah, and, you know, Canfield, an interesting story. Their whole quarterback situation is a little bit of a mess. Canfield struggled very early in his Oregon State career, threw a lot of picks.
He's a senior.
It was booed off the field in some games last year, gets replaced for the most part by Lyle Moveo, a junior college transfer who was very successful for them, proved to be a great leader, hurts his shoulder late in the season. Canfield starts, wins a crucial game at Arizona. They lose at Oregon, obviously go to the Sun Bowl. Moveo plays, they win. Moveo gets shoulder surgery in the offseason. He's still recovering. He's going to be making the trip to Vegas as an emergency third-string quarterback, but it's Canfield's show. Wow. Ryan Katz is the backup, but it's Canfield's show. Yeah. So, you know, no pressure of looking over your shoulder for Lyle Moveo, the big quarterback coming in who proved last year he can win some games. He beat USC. So, you know, this is a big challenge for Canfield. He's going to have some pressure on him because he's trying to win the job for good right now as a senior, and this is not an easy game to win in it.
It isn't. And, you know, Ryan Katz looked comfortable last week. You know, he was 7-12 for 56 yards. Anytime a backup can get any kind of playing time, that's going to be great for that team for future, you know, games. And if he's got to come in, it looks like he's capable.
Mm-hmm. And Canfield, of course, very efficient last week, went 8 of 11. Threw a touchdown. Just, you know, he even joked in the an article in the Oregonian up in Portland this week, he didn't even break a sweat. He sweated more in practice leading up to the game than he did in the game. So UNLV's got an opportunity here to make a quarterback who hasn't sweat yet in a game sweat. early, he's going to have to probably play four quarters. Hasn't done it in a game yet this year. So there is a little window of opportunity there for UNLV.
There is. And you know what? UNLV has a chance to make the Oregon State defense sweat a bit, mm-hmm. too, because
they're a little suspect as well.
They are, and especially to the pass. You know, they allowed 274 yards to Portland that last week. The Portland State quarterback went 22 for 41. So it looked like they kind of kept the pressure on and kept them on their heels. And, you know, maybe this will be a little window for Omar Clayton to look for all of his targets, too, and, you know, get a bunch of 20, 30-yard receptions and be it more by air than the ground this week.
Yeah. And, you know, last year UNLV beat a Pac-10 foe on the road 23-20 in overtime at Arizona State. They say there's no comparison because last year between this and that because, you know, they say last year they went in there dreaming of doing something big. This year they're carrying an expectation, and maybe it's borderline overconfident this year, but either way they have some confidence stemming from that. Do you think that confidence is going to translate in a win? Let's get to some predictions. UNLV, a 7-point home underdog. Over-under in this game is 54. So for our predictions from now on, let's give a score, but we're going to base this on the spread and say whether we think this game will go over or under.
What was the total?
54.
Let's dig a little bit closer and tell me about your feeling this week from talking to guys at practice. What have you sensed and heard, and what kind of a how different is this week leading up to this game than a year ago, Arizona State, as far as what they were saying and how they were saying it?
Well, very different because, you know, UNLV, I think, was being very careful against Arizona State. They just lost their best defensive player in Star Fuamano into an ACL injury in a game that just fell apart after they led early against Utah. 1-1, banged up, going on the road to play the number 15 team in the country. So they were kind of guarding themselves a little bit last year. However, it was also a very different Pac-10 foe. That was an Arizona State team that was not focused on UNLV at all. They were looking ahead a week to right. when Georgia came to town.
Right.
And they didn't give UNLV any credit at all, very little respect. UNLV this week, not quite cocky, but very confident. Almost feeling like they've arrived to the point where they should be looked at as a legitimate opponent. And, you know, based on what this conference has done against the Pac-10 the last couple of years, I think that's a legitimate point. But they've got to be very careful to, you know, I think they respect this team, this Oregon State team, enough. I think they're kind of walking that line right now. They respect them. You don't want to get cocky, though, going against these guys because, again, this is a team that can knock your block off.
Yeah, better not take things for granted. Hopefully they're not. I know it was very big last week, I thought, that they didn't allow Sac State in the end zone.
Yeah.
They allowed no touchdowns, so I think that was a very strong defensive effort. And, you know, the defense sure sounded like, to me, they were real proud of shutting them out in the second half. So, you know, if that carries over and they don't get too full of themselves, I think the game will be I'm trying to hedge here, and I'm hemming and hawing, but I think UNLV will come out the victor, but I think it's just going to be a crazy, crazy game. I say 41-40.
I was going to say 35-31, and I'm going to give it to Oregon State right now. Just because I really want to see UNLV, I want to see something out of that run defense still. I'm still not convinced. I know they're healthy. I know they're fast. I know they can do it. I'm just not convinced yet. So I'm giving it 35-31, Oregon State.
And I picked UNLV to win, by the way. I mean, I'm sure I said that, but just to reiterate that. So 41-40.
Okay.
Again, I'm sticking with the preseason thing. Take the over.
We both like the over. And we both like UNLV to cover one way or another. And you like that money line.
Who's favored?
Oregon State.
Oregon State is favored.
Yeah, by 7.
You know what? That sure is interesting. You know UNLV players know that and are looking at that. So, you know, that's a good way to get them fired up too. So, yeah, money line to the over.
Fair enough. So for Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you post-game on Saturday night after the action at Sam Boyd Stadium here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. So stay tuned for that. Until then, take care and enjoy the game.